So on to today's show, we are talking to Helene Klodowski, the director of Stolen Time. So in Stolen Time, a riveting feature documentary from Helene Klodowski, the charismatic elder rights lawyer Melissa Miller and hundreds of aggrieved families take on the corporate for-profit nursing home industry, an industry notorious for its lack of transparency and accountability. So I guess that we can go into the first question here of what was your inspiration for the film? Maybe did Melissa approach you about the film? And also explain to the audience for their information of what the difference is between like the corporate for-profit nursing home system versus a government-run institution for nursing home.
Right. Well, very good questions. I was really inspired during the period of COVID at the beginning when I had several friends whose parents or spouses or even people who were in long-term care. And there was this just great fear of them being so unprotected during the pandemic. And I've always been really, really interested in questions about care. And for some reason, I just saw a video on YouTube with Melissa Miller, who had been talking about long-term care, not just during the pandemic, but way before, because she's a young lawyer in her 30s at the time who was taking on the for-profit industry and seeing a lot of problems in the kind of care that vulnerable people receive. Your question about what's the difference between corporate for-profit care? These are big chains, like kind of McDonald's versions of residences for care of vulnerable people. And they're on the stock exchange. They make a profit from their business. Whereas state provided care, there's not supposed to be any profit. All the money that's going into care goes to the people and the employees. Whereas in for-profit care, especially these really, really big entities, they have an obligation to their shareholders to make money and give money to the shareholders. So my question and Melissa's question in the film is like, what's going on and where does the money go? How do you follow the money?
And that's probably what makes the system so notorious inside of the for-profit cares. But for those who don't know, you describe inside the film why the system for the corporate nursing homes is so notorious for its lack of transparency, both with the money and both with the care and the accountability when it comes to the care that the elders are receiving within the homes, too, that if they sort of shift the accountability to the people who are the the children or the parents who are in charge of the person who's inside the care home rather than the nurse or the director.
Right. Well, I think your point is really interesting because there are so many families involved who just want to, provide the best care possible to their loved ones, whether it's parents or siblings or spouses or friends. And they don't feel, for whatever reason, that they can do it on their own. So they're looking to kind of a professional level to really take care of their loved ones. But what they're finding is that there's not enough staff, there's not enough oversight. And when they try and get information, it's just really, really almost impossible to get changes. And with as we follow Melissa in the film, and it's really a film about a quest of a young lawyer to understand this whole system. She realizes that the information is just not available, as much as she's very dedicated and really brilliant and determined and ready to take on this industry through the profession of law that she knows so well. following the money and understanding how the money from the state, because there is a lot of money from the state that goes into these residences, what proportion goes into care and what proportion goes to the shareholders and what compromises are being made. And I think what's really special about this film, I'm very proud of it, is the fact that we sort of help connect the dots between the residents and the families who feel that they're not getting the care that they need, and the workers who often really, really want to care, but they've just got too many residents to take care of. Yeah, and the legal system that's trying to make changes. So I think it's a film that seeks to inform people, but also really inspire people through storytelling. Mm-hmm. And Melissa is such a charismatic young lawyer. I mean, she knows that she's facing off against like a very, very big Goliath, but she's putting herself out there, even though it's really hard. She knows that in the end, she's going to be, that change just has to come.
Of course. So even though COVID-19 was a very dark time for society, especially inside the nursing homes, even here inside Quebec, we had our own scandal with the Maison Huron nursing home, where the staff members just walked out, leaving the police and military to take over that institution. It did, however, shine a light onto this notorious system inside the nursing home. So maybe you can explain how the COVID-19 pandemic shined the light onto this notorious system.
Right. It's interesting that you mentioned Heron, because for our screening on November 19th at the Cinéma du Musée, Aaron Durfel, the award-winning Montreal Gazette journalist who broke that story, is actually moderating a Q&A after the screening. But I think what's really interesting is that you're right, that the COVID-19 really exposed something that was just really unacceptable. But what people like Melissa were saying at the time is that for many people already trying to change this industry, they knew it all along. It's just that COVID almost made their truth acceptable and believable, because she even says in the film that people just didn't believe her that this stuff was going on, but it has been going on for a really long time. And I think what we find in the film through all the different conversations, and it's not a film about experts and statistics, it's really the story of Melissa trying to advance these court challenges against these corporations. What we hear again and again is that we have to, like, knowledge is power, and that we have to inform ourselves and listen to the various stories of people, both residents and workers and change makers, to really make a dent in going forward, because many of us hopefully will get old, and our loved ones will get old too, and many people will need more care. And is that going to be like really for-profit care? Are we going to are some people going to really profit from the most vulnerable in our society?
At the end of this project, do you and Melissa see the system getting the appropriate changes anytime soon? If so, what are the new changes that are in place, and what more needs to be done?
I think what Melissa is doing right now is, well, she just has a new baby, so she's taking a little bit of a break, but not really. All her big court cases are continuing, and there's more and more families that are getting involved. And I think what the change is that, especially after COVID, people feel entitled to ask for better care, that we're more aware that, no, this is unacceptable. I think maybe prior to COVID, people were just living their dramas as individuals. But I think collectively, we know that there's a lot that we need to change and that it's systemic. And so, of course, we know very well that change is slow. But I think there's just all the more people that know that we have to fight for better care. What I've been hearing, too, is that so many people feel guilty when their loved ones are in long-term care, because there's a part of us, I know, that feels that, you know, if only I could give that care, that total care to my family member.
And then sorry to cut you off, but we also see inside of court too how the defense for these institutions place more guilt onto you rather than sympathize with you.
You got it. So I think what Melissa is saying, that we collectively have the right to demand care, and that it's, I don't know if you or your listeners are aware, but long-term care is not in the Canadian Health Act. So it is this sort of wild west of different interests trying to get in there. And the numbers of old and very old are really, really increasing. So this is a time to make the change, because, you know, this is what will continue this kind of profit-making industry unless we call it out.
Okay. So before we get to our fun question that we normally like to end our interviews with, I'm going to remind our audience that playing at this year's RIDM Festival, November the 19th at 3 p.m. would be Stolen Time at Cinéma du Musée. So congratulations onto the film, first and foremost, and what we normally like to end our interviews with, since it is getting around to the end of the year, what have been some of your favorite movies of the year so far that you've seen?
Oh, that's a really good question. Well, I loved, I just recently watched, which hasn't really come out yet, The Disappearance of Cher Height. Really loved that film, with a lot of different archives of the period of between the late 60s and the 1980s. That's sure to come out. And I'm a kind of committed viewer to the Criterion Collection, where I'm seeing lots of obscure shorts and features. So it's interesting. There's so many films that I've seen, but I can't really name the ones that have really, you know, stuck in my head. I loved Fire of Love. That's a film also made up of a lot of archives that was created by my producer, Ina Fitchman of Intuitive Films. That film probably lots and lots of your audience has seen. Mm-hmm. So I'm fascinated by, obviously, documentary. I love it. Both films that are archival based and films like mine, which really follow a character over years. Mm-hmm.
And for those who are interested that are inside of Montreal, the RIDM Festival is currently starting. So go and check out some cool documentary films at this year's RIDM Festival, as well to Stolen Time, November the 19th at 3 p.m. at Cinéma du Musée. Thank you again for your time today, Helene.
Great. Nice to be with you. Thank you.